All right, why do people who like non-parametric statistics like parametric statistics? Okay. Data are not normally distributed. That's one of the first things you hear. R, Z, T, F, and all the related statistics are rather robust to many violations of these assumptions. That's the answer. Okay, we got a color thing going on here. Dark yellow's the concern. Light yellow is the response. Now, this word robust is a magical word. It gets pulled out and held up as if it meant something, and sometimes it does. I think it's important to remember something that James Erickson used to tell us all the time, which is that most of the tests of violations of the normal distribution aren't as good as the parametric statistics that they're trying to protect. In other words, the tests of whether you should use a parametric or non-parametric are more screwed up than just using one or the other by flipping a coin. The expression that he loved was using, and I'll show you a couple of these tests on Thursday, but using these tests to test for assumptions of normality to protect the t-test is like sending a rowboat out into the sea to see if the sea is safe for the Queen Mary. Okay? And, you know, you can start a fight in a room full of stats geeks by picking either one of these. It's just, and I encourage that. Data are not measured on an interval scale. Most psychological data are measured, and I love this concept, somewhere between two categories. Somewhere between ordinal and interval levels of measurement. The good news is that the regular statistics are pretty robust to this influence, since in all of these statistics, the rank order information is the most influential, especially in the correlational things. So again, basically the argument, we're not pure. No, we're fine. And you know, when you reduce the arguments to that language, you figure out that they're not really good arguments on either side. If we could only analyze data that purely fit some preconceived assumption, we're screwed. Remember the data that we have. 90% of our data is self-report. And if you've ever studied memory, that scares you all by itself. We are becoming increasingly dependent on self-report into the past or into hypotheticals. And if you've studied cognitive psychology, that makes you even more nervous. If you study developmental psychology, that should scare the shit out of you. You don't even have to study measurement to be scared about measurement. On average, good measures have about half of their variance being reliable. Good measures, on average, have about a quarter of their variance being valid. Let's not get real cranky about the level of measurement and whether there's a blip in the pretty curve. Okay? What this is going to do is this is going to lead us to a notion of convergence, looking for convergence. If the parametric and the non-parametric statistic give you the same basic answer, you are more comfortable with that answer than if only one or the other does. Okay? And we'll talk about the reasons that one or the other might give you a different answer. Sample size is too small for regular statistics. This is one of the siren calls of non-parametric statistics. They are easy to calculate, and if you have a small data set, they're very easy to calculate. Line them up, count them off, look at a table, go home. Do we really want to make important decisions based on a sample that is so small that we change the statistical models to use? And remember that, at least on this side, and I think they talk about it over there, I don't know, but if not, we will. There's a difference between statistical power and statistical stability. If you're testing a hypothesis that's likely to be wrong, it's really easy to have enough power to reject the null. But a small sample, no matter how powerful to reject the null, still tends to be sloppy in terms of its point estimation. So you only need 7 or 8 people to show that a correlation is statistically significantly different from zero when you expect it to be about 0.7. Okay? But if you only have 7 or 8 people, the variability on the correlation of that estimate is above 0.5. which means that 0.7 could be anywhere between 0.2 and 1. And you might go ahead and interpret the 0.2 and the 1 differently. So we got to make sure that we're thinking about sample size, not just for computing the statistic, but for believing the statistic. Common reasons against using nonparametric statistics, and for each, a caveat. Robustness of parametric statistics to most violated assumptions. We're okay. This is the we're okay argument. We're going to be fine. We're driving a big, strong, four-wheel vehicle. It doesn't really matter what the road is. It's difficult to know if the violations or a particular data set are enough to produce bias in the parametric statistics. One approach is to show convergence between parametric and non-parametric analyses of the data. Again, what we don't have is good tests of the assumptions or good tests of the robustness of a statistic to particular assumptions. And I say that after they've been pounding on this beast for over 40 years. And we still don't have a really good way to decide, are we within the robustness range of the parametric statistic, or should we slide over? So convergence becomes a reasonable approach. Some people say that nonparametric statistics have poorer power and poorer sensitivity than nonparametric statistics. That is, that you make a lot of type 2 errors. The truth is, parametric statistics are only more powerful when the assumptions upon which they are best based are well met. If the assumptions are violated, then the non-parametric statistics are more powerful. Everybody's better at what they're designed to do. Mostly limited to univariate and bivariate analyses, there are not a lot of non-parametric multivariate analyses. There are a couple versions of non-parametric multiple regression out there. Some of them, by the time you figure out how to interpret the regression weights and the p-values, are so far removed from the questions you were asking that you don't really get anything out of them. On the other side, you want to keep in mind that most research questions are in fact bivariate. If the bivariate results of parametric and non-parametric analyses converge, then there may be increased confidence in the parametric multivariate results. Another complaint about the non-parametric models is that they are not an integrated family of models like the general linear model. Everything from a correlation to a t-test, all the ANOVAs you know, ANCOVAs, all of that regression, all that shit fits under one model called the general linear model, which happens to be a module we offer during the second session. Yeah. In non-parametrics, there's really only two families. One that's based on sum ranks and the other that's based on chi-square. It's not all that more complicated. And frankly, both summed ranks tests and chi-square are way simpler than the regression family. The null hypotheses are not parallel with those of parametric statistics. This argument applies best to comparisons of groups using quantitative DVs. For these types of data, although the null is that the distributions are equivalent rather than that the centers are similarly positioned, which is the null for the t-test and the ANOVA, if the spread and the symmetry of the distributions are similar, then what we are comparing is similar in the two sets of tests. In other words, on a lot of these non-parametric tests, I'm going to show you two versions, the old version and the new version. The old version says all we can really test is if the distributions are similar or different. The new versions say if we assume certain things about the distributions, we can test more explicit things about them. In other words, the null hypotheses are similar when the two sets of analyses make similar assumptions. So it's in an important sense, it's not a fair claim. There are some differences that are a result of the math, and we'll look at those carefully, but most of our research hypotheses and questions ain't all that sophisticated. They're generally of the kind, are they positively or negatively related, and is one bigger than the other? Okay? And so even though there are some mathematical differences in bigger than and positively or negatively related, they don't really screw us up when we shift from one to the other.